Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tila E. I saw her at Riptide this year. She was great. 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by Kubota. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done right. Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at gokubota.com. We are live at Dave and Buster's in the Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood. We want you to watch the draft with us here tonight, and it's between Sterling and Sheridan, just east of I-95. And on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now is Omar Kelly. He covers the Miami Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. He was a late participant today in Dono and Frito's Movie Candy Draft, which I won, by the way. Omar had a supplemental pick. They had Warren Moon. Do you know what the draft was? Did you hear the four picks?
No.
So Warren Moon gave the first pick. The Movie Candy Draft, okay?
What did Warren Moon say?
He selected Milk Duds.
Oh, Warren,
terrible.
Let me down.
Terrible. I mean, yeah. It's a first-round bust. It's a guaranteed bust.
I knew that because he interviewed me coming out of college to be my agent.
Second-round pick was Zach Krantz. Dude took snow caps.
With the little white sprinklies on it?
Yes.
Come on, Zach. You ain't get that big eating snow caps.
That's what I was saying. The dude thinks salad dressing is chocolate syrup. He ain't eating snow caps at the movies. There's no chance. He's an extra butter guy.
On his snow caps.
Then, Omar. Wait, I'm getting to you, Omar.
He puts butter on his snow caps.
They go. He goes, can I get some extra butter on that? They go, you didn't get popcorn. Yeah, I'm talking about the snow caps. And then with the third pick, it was Clay Ferrero, and he took Snickers Bites. He just made up a candy.
Snicker Bites.
They don't sell those at movie theaters.
Oh, Clay full of crap.
So, that, like, yeah, it's like getting out there, and it's like tonight, and the Dolphins, they draft Jim Brown. And you go, no, you can't just make something up. So then, and they're like, oh, yeah, great job, Clay. I'm like, what is going on here? So I come in with the fourth pick, and I say, the only way I could lose is if I pick Lemonheads. It's the only way. Whatever else I pick, I'm going to win. So I just took M&M's. I took a sturdy offensive lineman who, exactly.
That's a closer.
Took the regular M&M's, and then Omar swooped in with a supplemental pick and took Rainbow Nerds.
Rainbow Nerds?
Which I don't even think they sell at movie theaters.
And I love them.
It's too loud. They shake
you
and rattle.
Yeah.
So explain yourself, Omar.
I only said rainbow because I looked it up in terms of movie theater candy, and they sell the rainbow. Because you know nerds come in, you get two colors on one side. But then when you buy it in the movie theater, they just give you rainbow, and they just throw all of them in there, and you're just sucking on all kinds of flavors. So I was specifically saying Rainbow Nerds to let you know that they do sell these at movie theaters. And if it's a big box of nerds, I'm buying it.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen that. I know I haven't seen Snickers Bites.
I know the Rainbow Nerds he's talking about.
But
I've never seen them at the movie theater.
I've seen them as well.
Yeah.
I'm talking about movie theater. I mean, you could go, Bunch of Crunch, the Cookie Dough Bites, Sour Patch Kids. I've seen Twizzlers.
I don't know the Cookie Dough Bites. The Sour Patch Kids are disgusting. I don't get that. I was thinking about Sweet Tarts, but, that's just a little bit too much. I'm a sour kind of candy guy, so you know, I wanted to be part of the candy draft. I didn't know it was movie theater draft till it was too late. But I was like, let me check to make sure. In a candy draft, I'm picking Nerds number one. So just candy overall, I'm picking Nerds number one. Nerds are the only thing I still buy. If I go to a gas station and they got Nerds, if I'm walking into a gas station, I'm be like, oh, let me pick up a pack.
It's game on.
Yeah. Like that with Now and Laters.
Omar Kelly. All right, let's get to the.
Yeah. And Now and Laters, too. Now and Laters, that I'd have to trade up to get another
Man,
selection.
I am Tyrone Biggums when I see a Now and Later. I start scratching my neck. I don't care what's going on. I'm eating them Now and Laters.
Oh, favorite flavor, Crowder. Favorite flavor.
What's your favorite flavor?
Oh, favorite flavor, yeah. The pink. Everybody know that. Everybody love the pink. The strawberry, man.
All right, let's go.
I'm a pineapple guy.
Oh, because it tricks you with the bananas, nasty, but you can get the yellow pineapple. Oh, I'm with you.
You're right. You're right, though. The bananas, it can mess you up if you think you're getting pineapple and you really end up with banana.
Nobody wants bananas.
Let's go to the Falero does. Let's go to the real drop there. Yeah, too easy. Low-hanging fruit, no pun intended.
Oh, so funny.
All right, let's go to the real draft here. Omar Kelly covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. Are you hearing anything about the Dolphins in the draft tonight?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is the first time that I would say in a long time, other than probably when they have the number one pick, the Dolphins really like their selection. Most times you hear the GM say, you know, there are about 12 elite players in the draft, and we're at pick number 13. Or there's about 8 players in this draft we really like, and they're at pick number 9. This is really a good spot for the Miami Dolphins because they're going to get their 5. And Chris Greer really broke it down for you. He explained his thought process. There are 5 elite defensive linemen in this draft. He wants one of them. He wouldn't name who the 5th guy was, so everybody's leading it up to their space. Everybody knows who the top 4 are. He wouldn't name who the 5th guy was. I personally think for them it would be Christian Wilkinson. I think that that's probably going to be the selection with 13. But also the Dolphins have put it out there that, hey, we need a cornerback. We like this Grady Williams kid. You know what? We'll take him if he's there at 13. And Grady Williams is going to be the first cornerback selected. A lot of teams are cornerback thirsty. They are lower in the draft. So if the Dolphins have put it out there, if you want this cornerback, you want the number one cornerback on your board, you might want to holler at us for a little minute now.
And me and Hawk were talking in the earlier segments where would you be surprised if anything happened, a trade up, a trade down, a drafted quarterback, Dwayne Haskins drops, or an offensive defensive lineman what I'm anticipating. Is there anything that could happen tonight that would surprise you?
2 things could happen tonight that would surprise me. The first would be not even just tonight, the whole draft, them trading for Josh Rosen. You weren't going to select him last year in the first round, why would you trade for him now? And I don't even care about the money that they put, because he's still going to cost twice what you would spend for a third round pick, which is pretty much been the asking rate for Josh Rosen since the NFL Combine. If you want Josh Rosen, you can get him for a third round pick, and pretty much that's everybody is well established in the NFL. Everybody has said no to it already. If the Dolphins say yes on draft day, I'd be shocked. And the second thing is Daniel Jones. I have no idea why people are having this conversation about Daniel Jones being a first round rated quarterback. He is worse. He looks worse than Jake Locker, than Christian Ponder. In terms of quarterback prospects, how in the world could he be a first-round quarterback? More power to whoever takes him, but I damn sure hope it ain't the Miami Dolphins. And if it is, somebody going to have to find my flamethrower.
In your opinion, who are the franchise-changing quarterbacks in this draft?
2. Dwayne Haskins as a possibility, and I'm certain that Kyler Murray will be a franchise-changing quarterback if he can stay healthy.
You've got no doubts about those two guys.
No, I have a little bit of doubt about Dwayne Haskins because he's got 1 year sample size, and unlike Kyler Murray, there isn't elite athleticism attached to accuracy. He is accurate, and he's a good quarterback. I'm warming up to him, and I doubt he's going to be there at 13, but if he's there at 13, I would like the Dolphins to select him.
And, I'll be honest, you watch more film. You do the film breakdown stuff. There's no chance that Kyler Murray can become an RG3, very athletic, very, you know, gifted, God-given gifts, but just not going to pan out and stay healthy in the NFL.
The only reason I don't think RG3 panned out was because he got robbed of his, you know, amazing athleticism with that knee injury. And if Kyler Murray gets robbed of his athleticism, I think there's a chance he could be RG3. But the one thing that I really like about Kyler Murray is he doesn't look to run. He runs, you know, out of necessity. It's not his first instinct. He's a real good passer, a real legitimate, accurate passer. Touch, timing, precision. He's going to be the second coming of Russell Wilson.
Omar Kelly is with us. Falero, I was just looking at the text machine. I didn't realize we forgot again. Why didn't we play his theme song?
Oh, don't wait.
Yeah, it's draft week, and yeah, it's really busy.
Play his theme song. I mean, the segment's not the segment without his theme song. Go ahead, Falero. Fire off the theme song.
Omar Kelly, doo-doo-doo-doo. Omar Kelly, doo-doo-doo-doo. Omar Kelly, doo-doo-doo-doo. Omar Kelly, From the Sun Sentinel, do 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 do. From the Sun Sentinel, do 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 do. From Sun Sentinel, do 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 do. Sun Sentinel covers the fins, do 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 do. Covers the fins, do 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 do. Covers the fins, do 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 do. Covers the fins. Just got married, do 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 do. Just got married, do 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 do. Just got married, do 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 do.
Delightful. It really is. Sorry.
Delightful.
Absolutely delightful. All right, in the issue of transparency, because we've had people on all week tell us their draft stories, and they have to be,
I've loved it. I think it's the best radio that you guys have done in years. I'm so jealous. I did not think about this. You could do a series every day. And people don't realize how it's a lifetime achievement for these guys, but how nerve-wracking and disappointing it actually is when it arrives, because they've been lied to so much, and it's part of the problem, which is why I have a resentment level for this draft. Every draft pick is being called today and lied to by multiple teams. How many teams called you on draft day, Crowder?
Oh, bro, it was 9 hours I was sitting around. I must have talked to 2 dozen teams.
If you'd go by sample size, I don't know how many guests we've had on. Gino Toretta, Josh Booty, Randy McMichael, Twan Russell, Crowder himself, and then Ronnie Brown and O.J. McDuffie were probably the only two real positives. But 5 out of the 7 have
Ronnie
these.
Got number 2. What the hell
right,
are you complaining
right.
about?
Yeah. It was probably one of the biggest disappointments of my life.
Which is the craziest thing, because it's also the greatest moment of your life.
I don't look at it that way.
I think to fix the draft, teams should not be allowed to contact the prospects 72 hours before the draft. Because what they're doing now by lying to these kids, fishing for information, fishing for, trying to angle to say, if you don't get drafted, are we going to take you? When they sit there and they tell a guy, you're there in the third round, we're going to take you. And they're lying. And these kids sit here and believe it, and they get their hopes up, and they start fantasizing about the life and the thing. And then they are sitting in the sixth round, and, 2 rounds later, 3 hours later, they got to deal with all that disappointment, all that anxiety. I've just listened to you guys' stories. I mean, the stories that you guys have told. And I've heard a lot of these stories privately, and nobody really tells the general public this. It's disgusting. It breaks my heart how many times, just to get information, they sit here and they exploit. Darius Butler, y'all should have him on. The Dolphins told him, we're going to take you in the first round, and lied to the young man. Like, they shouldn't be allowed to contact these players.
All right, now. In the issue of transparency, though, because everybody has been so forthcoming about what it was like and how, it may have been a disappointment and whatnot. Omar Kelly, tell us, who have you been, and we're running out of time, so it's got to be quick, who have you been the most wrong on headed into a draft where you were certain this person was going to be a star or a bust, and you shouted it from the mountaintops, and you were dead wrong?
Paxton Lynch, no doubt about it. I thought he was I watched him in Memphis, and I thought, like, man, this kid's going to be phenomenal. And, he had all the tools. He just didn't have it upstairs.
I think John Elway thought that he was going to be a star too, right? Didn't he get chosen by Denver?
Yeah, he got Omar and John Elway. So, Omar, you're in good company here.
Yeah, at least somebody else who has some very good, legitimate quarterback, you would think, prognosticating skills, got fooled as well. So Paxton Lynch is yours. Omar, thank you for stopping by, man.
All right, guys.
Radio.com. Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head?
Nickelback can only mean one thing.
Brady Quinn.
Brady Quinn. Inexplicably. So we're live at Dave and Buster's. People are already coming out. They're already sitting down getting ready to watch the draft tonight, which is coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. We want you to join us. Watch it with us here. Dave and Buster's, the Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood, just east of 95 between Sterling and Sheridan. Going to be a lot of fun. We have had a fascinating week of guests telling us their draft stories.
Yeah.
Crowder's draft story is fascinating because he was told he was going in the first round. Mel Kiper told him absolutely no later than 20 to Green Bay. And then Bill Belichick told you, we're going to take you at 32, but there's no chance.
You won't be available.
And then
Appreciate it, Coach.
Crowder didn't go till the third round, and he had already taken out $1 million credit line. The draft day turned out to be an awful memory for Crowder, which I think is silly because it's the culmination of your dreams. But regardless, you think of it as a bad day.
I shake this whole week. I just sit and shake. It ruined my life.
Then we had Gino Toretta on. He was the Heisman Trophy winner. He went in the seventh round. And I said to him, he's been a friend of mine for a long time, and I said, you kind of knew you were going to go late in the draft. He's like, no, I didn't. I was the freaking Heisman Trophy winner.
Exactly.
He was angry to this day, right?
Yes, he was.
And then Josh Booty was on with us, and he went in the sixth round. And he's like, yeah, I was pissed. I didn't belong going in the sixth round. And then we had, who else? Tuan Russell today. Tuan Russell's story was fascinating. He got called by Detroit saying, we're taking you. It was in the third round. It was the 130th pick. And then they took Matt Russell. They called the wrong Russell. They had no intention of taking Tuan Russell. They were intending on taking Matt Russell. They called the wrong Russell in their phone book. He didn't go till the fifth round. Randy McMichael told us this week he was going first or second round. He didn't go till the fourth round. He had to go to sleep that night and was miserable.
And his whole family was fighting, eating chitlins and drinking champagne that was supposed to be celebratory champagne but became morning champagne.
Became an angry evening at the Randy McMichael household. And then Ronnie Brown yesterday, he went number two overall. He had a great time.
I hate it.
O.J. McDuffie went 25 or 26, and he was thrilled.
He knew exactly what was going on.
So on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline right now is Brady Quinn. Now, many people are familiar with Brady's draft night story. Star stud quarterback out of Notre Dame. There's talk he might go number one overall. And then he gets selected. It was the 22nd pick by the Browns. And it was this arduous four-hour or so wait for Brady Quinn, which played out on television. But here's the thing, Brady. You went in the first round of the NFL draft. So is your draft night memory good or bad?
Yeah, I think when I look back on it, I don't remember it as being bad because I kind of went in with no expectations. And a lot of that had to do with, much like a lot of other people, maybe even, Channing feels this way, they were told a bunch of stuff, and you don't know what to believe. I flew out to Oakland for a visit, and at the time, Lane Kiffin was the head coach. And, it was basically me and Jamarcus Russell were the two quarterbacks as slated as who they were looking at, and then there was Calvin Johnson and Adrian Peterson. And so when I go out there for the visit, I knew Lane Kiffin from playing against him at USC, and we sat down, we started watching some of my film, talking through some stuff, and he kind of stopped the tape and looked at me and said, hey, I really like you. I respect you from all the times playing against you. I wish we had a chance to take you. He said, but our owner is going to go another direction. And I just kind of said, okay. And he looked at me and goes, want to keep watching films, hang out for a little bit? I said, yeah, sure. So basically, I just spent the rest of the day hanging out around the Raiders organization, met Al Davis. He asked me which color of silver I liked for their uniforms. That was the extent of the visit.
This is
and,
surreal.
I left there knowing that I wasn't going to be drafted number one overall. The night before, Phil Savage had told my agent that if both Joe Thomas and I were there at number three, that they weren't going to select me. And he told me, he said, I had never had a general manager tell me what their draft strategy is the night before the draft. He goes, so I don't know if this is him being honest or some elaborate smokescreen that he thinks I'm going to make public or leak out there for the masses. But sure enough, they didn't take me. They ended up taking Joe Thomas, so he was being truthful. The Dolphins, they had sent Charlie Weiss a care package the night before with a note that said something along the lines of, we know you haven't been a big fan before, considering his ties back in New England, but we hope you will be after tomorrow. And obviously, when the Dolphins passed on me at number nine, I was a bit surprised. I hadn't met with any teams outside of the top 10. And so I didn't know what was going to happen, but obviously having the team that you rooted for your entire life trade up to get you at number 22 was obviously a dream come true.
And the Jamarcus Russell thing, Brady, is interesting to me because some people, and in my mind, I have him as number one biggest draft bust in NFL history. For you to be competing with that guy, like, did you know you were better than him when, like you just said, where Oakland flat out told you we're going a different direction? Did you know they were going with Jamarcus? And in the back of your mind, did you say, I'm better than Jamarcus Russell?
Of course. Of course you feel that way. I mean, look, I trained with Jamarcus was out in Arizona at the time. He wasn't working out, though.
just hanging.
It was, and so this goes back to really the bowl game. You know, up we played them in the Sugar Bowl that year, and you know, at that time, you know, we were preparing for them, and I remember watching film of their defense, and you know, saying to myself, okay, they've got a couple first round picks on the defensive front. They got a safety who's a bona fide first round pick, and another cornerback too. We've got a work cut out for us. You know, we're not necessarily built to be able to go up against that sort of talent. And so we had our hands full. I think it was like 21-14 a half, and then we didn't score a point in the second half, and they just ran away with it. And Jamarcus really made a case for being number one in that game. He just threw bomb after bomb, you know, over top of our defense to Dwayne Bowe and the likes, and came up with some big plays. So then he started to build momentum. Well, when we went out to train at Arizona together, I was kind of curious. I'm like, all right, good. I want this guy to be training out here. I want to kick his ass every day when we're out there training and throwing and so forth. Well, he never really showed up. His biggest knock was how big he was, and he never really lost weight. So, you know, I was hanging around pretty much there all day. I'd work out, I'd throw, I'd watch a bunch of film, and I had a quarterback guru, quote unquote, that we'd go through stuff. And I kept waiting all day just to wait to see what this guy looks like, kind of size him up and all that. And I maybe saw him two or three times. I think he jumped rope for 5 minutes once and threw. And then the other two times, he just walked out there and threw to the wide receivers, and that was it.
And Crowder was a a spectator when he threw a ball 30 feet into the stands.
I played him in Oakland with the Dolphins, Brady, and he overthrew a guy on an out route, and it hit the third row. And in the huddle, we were talking about it. We were like, bro, did you just see where that ball went when he tried to throw a 10-yard out?
Strongest arm I've ever seen, though. Like, hands down. I remember I almost broke my neck watching him throw a football out on the field like one of those 3 days he was out there. I mean, from sideline from hash to the sideline, when he would throw those out routes, he may not be able to hit the broadside of a barn, but that thing was coming like it was a howitzer. I mean, that thing was flying out of there.
Brady Quinn is with us. Draft day stories. It's draft night. Tell me if this is true, like if this is exactly true, because it's from Wikipedia. Following the draft, Brady Quinn was criticized by fellow Notre Dame quarterback Joe Theismann in a radio interview, claiming that Quinn looked unprofessional when he was on stage following his name being called. Theismann was bothered by the appearance of Quinn's hair, and I remember that it was like mussed up, and the fact that you were chewing gum. Quinn responded saying, I apologize to anyone, obviously, who's a Notre Dame alum or for those fans who thought I wasn't being very businesslike. I was there for a while, and at that moment in time when you finally get picked, after waiting for 4.5 hours, the last thought in my head was to spit out your gum, fix your hair, or make sure your shirt and everything look good. I was just trying to get on stage as fast as possible and get that Browns jersey in my hand.
That's all accurate. I mean,
yeah, that's crazy. Just to talk about draft day stories, like, so now you're excited, you get picked by Cleveland or whatever, and then I'm guessing the next day you're reading Joe Theismann criticizing your appearance.
Yeah, but two things. I mean, look, Joe could probably borrow some of my hair, some of that long hair that I had. And the other thing is he obviously doesn't realize, and most people don't realize, is, you know, up to that point, I don't know since then, but that was the longest wait anyone had ever had in the green room. And then, look, I'm not trying to make the case that, you know, I waited longer than other guys. Shannon, I've obviously heard his story before. But as far as people who've signed up to go to New York, sit in the green room and kind of sit there and wait, because of how long the first round each pick was and how long I was in there for, that was the longest. So, you know, at one point I saw Roger Goodell, and this was his first draft he was doing. And he stopped me in the hallway and kind of said, hey, why doesn't your family come into our suite? He said, I'm tired of looking at you on the TV. He's like, I'm sure you're tired of being on TV. And I just kind of said to him, I know what I signed up for, but, you know, I'm sure my family, you know, would maybe want to take you up on that. So the tough thing for me was, you know, I didn't want to be on there for, well, what I signed up for. But at the same time, I also didn't want my family to be subjected to that, because they kind of, you know, they signed up for it along with me, and that was a little unfair to them. So we sat in there for a little bit, and as soon as the pick was made, like, literally people were grabbing me and rushing me out on stage, because I thought I was getting drafted by Baltimore at 23. They had called me during the 22nd pick to tell me about how they were trading up with Kansas City, and we were just basically having a impromptu speed dating session because I had never talked to Ozzie Newsome or Brian Billick or Rick Neuheisel. So we were all trying to get to know each other on the phone. And next thing you know, with a minute left, Cleveland trades up with Dallas.
And, Brady, what happens like 4.5 hours? Y'all just talked about it. Like, what goes on between you and your parents, you and your lady, you and your agent? Like, what goes on in those 4.5 hours that you're sitting there?
Well, my agent thought I was going to fire him for some reason, which, I mean, I was like, look, I know you're a big-name agent, Tom Condon, but I said this is obviously out of your control. It's not like you could do anything about it. I mean, this is all in the power of the team's hands and what they choose to do. And so at some point, I think he was a little bit concerned, and we had a couple talks. You know, my family just was, kind of sitting there with me. I think my dad and I were kind of putting together like a hit list of all the teams that had passed and all the teams who wanted to go play and kick their ass. So I'm sure there was some sort of list with the Browns marked off on it or circled with a bullseye that ended up getting thrown away at the end. But that was kind of it. I think I called one of my buddies who came to New York to see the stands, and I had him go do a Chipotle order. So once we went to Roger Goodell's suite, he ran back. Someone gave him a pass to get back there, and he came back with like 8 burritos. And so everyone was like chopping down a bunch of Chipotle, but I couldn't really make it public then because I had this deal with Subway, and obviously there was a competitor. So that was probably one of the better draft day stories. Is if anything, the burrito was making me tired after eating that and been drafted like an hour later.
How great is that? He's got an endorsement deal with Subway. He wants Chipotle. He's ending up in Goodell's suite, and he's like, he's like subtly eating a Chipotle burrito because he can't be seen eating it because he's going to blow his Subway deal.
Imagine how bad Goodell's suite smelled for the rest of that first round. Like the next 10 days, he just had to walk back there every time, smelled a bunch of like garbage and leftover Chipotle sitting everywhere.
Oh, my God, what a great story. Brady Quinn is with us. So what was the one that really shocked you the most as you fell to 22? Was it the Dolphins taking Ted Ginn?
Yeah, it was Miami. I mean, just from my entire, preparation leading up to the draft, I worked with Terry Shea. He was going to be the quarterback coach, and so we had a great rapport together. So, every day when I'm showing up, going through things with him, doing drills with him, and Jamarcus isn't there and all that, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, if they're going to take a quarterback, I know, which corner Terry Shea's in. And so he left at one point. I think I had 3 weeks or so of prep still, and he said, hey, it's too good of an opportunity not to take it. And I said, I completely get it. Hopefully we'll work together in the future. And I had a guy named Mike Krushak come in who used to be with the Arizona Cardinals, and he kind of finished out the last 3 weeks. So that was one reason. Cam Cameron and the Dolphins staff had come in a separate time from my pro day to actually work me out and have me throw. And so obviously there was a lot of interest there from that standpoint. And then the note that was sent to Charlie Weiss the night before. I mean, everything was kind of leading up to that point. But that was probably the most shocking one. And only because of kind of where they went to. It's nothing against Ted Ginn. I think he's a tremendous player. He's obviously still playing. And he's got that sort of elite speed that you rarely find. But I kind of figured it was going to be another quarterback. Or just a different position at that point in time in the draft.
So do you think they were BSing you the whole time? Like, have you ever thought back and said, what exactly transpired here?
Yeah, I've heard stories. I've heard there was one particular coach who made a very, very passionate display in the draft room, a war room, about what he thought and who he wanted to draft and who he thought would be the best player for them to take. And, maybe it convinced a few people. I've heard stories, and I'll just kind of leave it at that. It's not anything of time side of this. We're not really much that you can read into it. It kind of is what it is. Obviously, it didn't work out for Cam Cameron, those guys. I think they went 1-15 and got fired after 1 year. So, that's kind of the story of how it worked out. And it's not like it worked out great for me in Cleveland anyway, but I don't know that it's really worked out for anyone well in Cleveland, maybe up until now. And hopefully it will move forward for Baker and those guys.
Well, Brady, Cam Cameron didn't do anything right because he went 1-15 with us, and then he went and got fired from LSU again, and now he's not even coaching, bro. So he's the one that was bad. You were good to go. But I want to ask you, Brady, is there anything, looking back now that we're grown men now, married with kids, would you have done anything different on your draft day? Would you have not went to the draft? Would you have just done something different now that you know what happened?
I would say this because I like to golf a little bit. I could have played 18 holes And as soon as I walked off 18, I could have went and figured out I got drafted. That probably would have been the perfect scenario if you're going to wait 4.5 hours and then get drafted. But, you know, no, people have asked me that before. And, you know, I come from a middle-class working family in Central Ohio. I've got family down in Kentucky and so forth. And some of those people who came to New York, that was the first time they went, and they'll never go back again. So even though for some it was, you know, and you guys kind of said it when I first came on, even though for some they're like, oh, you know, you didn't go where you thought you would be. But, yeah, dude, I got drafted in the first round, the team I grew up, you know, rooting for, wearing Bernie Kosar jerseys. Like, there's no better, you know, dream becoming a reality than that. And then I got to share that with all my family. So I think the most unfortunate part people don't realize is as soon as I left that green room with Roger Goodell, I didn't get to see my friends, my extended family, no one, besides my mom, my dad, and my girlfriend at the time, who came with me to Cleveland. But besides that, we kind of got whisked away into a big press conference, like, side room. And then after that, we were shuttled off to go to the airport. So everything happened so fast at that point. It just kind of stunk. I didn't get to thank everyone for coming out and obviously being there for me.
Here's a burrito. I'll catch you in a week.
Did you marry the girl?
I did buy them Chipotle, though. So
that was, is it your wife now, the lady that was in the green room with you? Oh, Brady,
no,
you did her wrong, yeah. Man. You showed her the better side of life and then let her go?
No, it wasn't quite like that. It was a little more complicated. We were together for almost like 6+ years, almost 7 years, I think. And at that point in time, I think, you know, we were kind of growing apart and all that. So it kind of was what it was. But, you know, we're both probably in better places now.
Her draft stock fell as well.
Yeah.
She went in the seventh round.
Yeah.
Brady Quinn, it's fascinating. We appreciate every time you come on with us. And
no hawk. We know that.
She's no hawk.
She saw a picture of me and Brady Quinn on our date, and she's like, well, okay, if that's what he left me for.
Is that what ruined it?
She's like, now I don't understand what the hell is going on here. Brady, it's fascinating. Thank you for joining us on draft day, because the stories are fascinating, and we get to put a real human side on something that's often commoditized. So we appreciate it. Thank you, man.
Anytime, guys. Have fun tonight.
Brady Quinn there. That was fascinating.
I knew the story, but I've never heard him tell
right.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we witnessed it. Like, we witnessed it, but there you go. You heard it. All right, we're at Dave & Buster's. The draft party is here tonight, 8 o'clock. Dave & Buster's, we want you to watch the draft with us. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back after this.
Radio.com.
Houdini talking about skeezers. That's back in the day, man. Skeezers. That is
and
back
heifer.
In the day.
Did you use skeezer or heifer?
Heifer, no. Skeezer. Skeezer. So we're at Dave & Buster's, and I keep reminding you, we want you to join us tonight for our draft party. Dave & Buster's, there's going to be lots of drink specials. They've got drink specials, happy hour from 4 till 7. So in about 10 minutes, happy hour starts, and then till 7 o'clock. And they've got $5 bar bites during that happy hour. And then tonight, because it's Thursday, all you can eat wings with a power card. Speaking of power cards, I've got a stack of them. So if you come here to Dave & Buster's, you could see me, our engineer Steph, sitting right next to me. And you got some kids with you. We'll give them each a power card so they can play some games. And we're going to have some Miami Hurricanes football tickets to raffle off this evening. Other prizes, I was told that Sinbad Sports, our friend Sinbad, is bringing some memorabilia, including, I believe, a Channing Crowder autographed picture.
Really?
Yes, I was told that Sinbad is bringing
that. Who would want
that?
Go to hell. You awake?
Tell you what, Valero, there is one way to get him to perk up.
Is let him make fun of me.
It is crazy.
I'm going to smack him in his mouth after a while.
And I can't even talk you out of it because he has been mouthy.
I'm going to hit him.
That dude is mouthy.
I'm
anyway.
going to check with the upper people. I'm going to talk to HR and
trust
just
me,
let them know.
No one's going to have a problem with it.
Oh, okay.
Does it
Valero's,
say one INT
Valero's
on it?
Valero's going to be here tonight, and I'll be here, and Crowder will be here for a while. Then he's going to head over to the stadium, and Alex Dono and Rashad Butler are going to do the draft show from here tonight. So it's going to be a big old get-together, hopefully of Dolphins fans, although I already see our friend who's a 49ers fan who comes every year. He's already representing in his 49ers gear, ready for Bosa, right?
Exactly.
Ready for Bosa. So things are happening. But join us here. It's Dave & Buster's in Hollywood in the Oakwood Plaza. It's between Sterling and Sheridan, east of I-95. And if you want to watch the draft with a bunch of Dolphins fans, hopefully this will be the place to do it. Aronde Gadsden is scheduled to join us next with his draft day story, which involves not being drafted, right? Because he was a undrafted free agent. But Aronde Gadsden, hopefully, when we return.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.